Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we approach the written word this
morning with faith in our hearts, meekness in our minds. We receive the truth and clarity that's found in Christ. There is no contradiction or error in this atmosphere. We have precision and accuracy in our knowledge of the Son. We behold Him as He sees us in Him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Alright. Ephesians 4:26, we want to look at the text of Scripture. Be ye angry. As a younger Christian, I remember a friend of mine. I'm going to mention his name because he's not going to be offended. His name is Akinyele Fadarido. He has changed his name now to Oluwadare, whatever. But I still call him Fadarido because we gave him a nickname then, Fido. Remember Fido Dido? Alright, don't know Fido Dido. I can tell your date of birth. Fido Dido used to be like something for 7-Up. So we called him Fido Dido. So I don't know how I can call Oluwadare Fido. So I call him Fadare. Fadare is Fadare. Ifa is Ifa. Alright. So he said, Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. Funny enough, when he said that, I'd never paid attention to that scripture before. He said, so God can give us some time before the sun goes down to be angry. Ephesians 4:26. It's like an instruction. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, before we approach this scripture, we need to just lay some foundation. In John chapter 1, and very vitally, good enough in our series on Isaiah, we examined the word wrath of God and anger of God. How many of you understood it very well? The wrath of God, anger of God, what it means. Now, we'll just take a shade of that in this teaching, just briefly. In John 1:18, many people hardly know the role Jesus plays in the scriptures. He's our Savior, and in that work, He's also our teacher. In other words, He's our teacher of the Old Testament books. We call Him the Rabbi of the Bible, the teacher. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. That is definitely referring to the incarnation. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Now, the word declared is a word used for relating personal experiences. Something you saw yourself. Something you can say you saw. I remember in writing a movie project I'm on, and then there were some scenes we wanted to put in the movie, and then we now got those who were present. Now, there was a particular story we wanted to put in there, and I was there, but I didn't capture the detail as a fellow who was not just looking, he was an active actor. I said, who took that stick? He said, oh no, I was the one. I said, oh, it was you. So he gave the exact description of what happened. He said, this person did this, and did that, then I did this. Oh, so in other words, the story eventually was now about him. So, now I saw what happened, fine, but I wasn't an actor in what happened. It was someone's experience that I saw. So, while I can be called eyewitness, He is the one declaring His own experience. It was a part of the experience. So this is the word used here, exegoimai, E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. It means to relate your own experience, what happened to you. You were a part of it. You didn't just see it happen, you were a part of it. You see that in Luke 24, verse 35, They told the things that are done in the way, how he was none of them in breaking of bread. They told what they were part of, how they met Jesus on the way. Okay? Acts 10 verse 8. Acts 10 verse 8. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he said unto Joppa, in other words, his interaction with the angel, that is Cornelius, what happened, his own interaction. Acts 15 verse 12 and 14, the same thing, is used for real, true life experience. And Acts 21 verse 19. So, if John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time, but the Son of God, which is in the book, Holy God of the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has shared with us what he experienced. Nobody, therefore, can relate God like this. Why? Because John says the Word was God. In verse 1. The Word was God. So if the Word is God, and Jesus is explaining God, he's not explaining somebody else. He's explaining his own experience. So, he therefore becomes the expositor of the Old Testament scriptures. He is the expositor. So, what we don't find him affirm or say or do is not of God. Even anywhere it's been represented. I love something someone said a couple of days ago. He said, you can quote parts of the Bible to support human sacrifice. You can quote parts of the Bible to support murder. You can quote parts of the Bible to support anger. You can quote parts of the Bible to support retribution and vengeance. But you can't quote Jesus. That's beautiful, right? He said, you can't quote Jesus. I said, if you need to know, Jesus is Lord over everyone who spoke in the Bible. And is Lord over the Bible itself. That's quite a statement, right? It is. You can't quote Jesus. You know, when you teach anything, I taught you this before. Jesus didn't teach it. Paul didn't teach it. Peter didn't teach it. James didn't. Jude didn't. Writer of Hebrews did not. What you are yearning is your own yearning. You will find it. You know, and I'm going to say this till everybody understands it. That I know. Even studying the Old Testament, in our studies of the Old Testament, we found out that verses and texts used to teach certain things were not even so. Hallelujah. We've been studying the book of Isaiah, like I said. How did you discover that the apostles did not quote the Old Testament out of context? Who noticed that? You saw it. You went, no, it wasn't out of context. It was out of context. They were explaining it. And so, Jesus, therefore, is the expositor. John says it like this. This is my beloved son, he said, the Father said it. In whom I am well pleased. Edokio, we said in the Greek, which means I am well revealed. I'm spoken well of. Matthew 17, five, the same thing on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved son, whom I well pleased. Hear ye him. Which, because all the prophets, Elijah, Moses, they all spoke about the one we should listen to. So, Jesus therefore becomes the expositor, the explanator. Is that the right word? Expositor. Teacher of the Old Testament books. Let me read that quote again. You can quote scriptures to support anything. Domination. To support prosperity. To support material prosperity. To support possession. Possessing your possession. To support murder. To support, what else? To support any other. But you won't quote Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. He is the Logos of God. And so, he's that expositor. Philippians chapter 2, quickly. Bible says the word became flesh in John 1:14. The word became flesh. Dumb one will say, he walked where I walk. I don't know. He stood where I stood, even though he was in America when he sang it. But it's fine. Hallelujah. But the truth is, if you had an error, because in spiritual realities, in the old covenant, they mixed up what God did and what Satan was doing. But for this cause was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. To explain that, it means that he might separate the works of the devil from the works of God. So if you had any mistake about who God was, his incarnation should have cleared all the doubts. His incarnation. So you look at the ministry of Jesus and look at the ministry of others before him. And then you will use Jesus to affirm or deny what they have done. Jesus was not complimentary. He is God's word. You know, he came to compliment what you are doing. Some of you say, well, when a man and woman marry, the husband is the head, the woman is the neck. I don't know where they got that from. That's interesting. That you compliment each other. You bring what you don't have. No, you will come, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. What I've done to that verse. In my days of preaching. Bone of my bones. The bone stands for strength, structure. It stands for physique. Holding on in times of trouble. Flesh is weakness. So the woman becomes the flesh. The weakness of your weakness. The strength of your strength. Top three people tell them. I preached it, not somebody. I'm the one that preached. Who's that? All those things are burnt now, right? Come on, yes. Sir. They're tested by fire. Mine wasn't gold or silver, it was stubble. Okay? So, because so Jesus came to compliment Isaiah. No, he is the word. Hallelujah. He is the word. All the prophets were not the light. He is the light. I am. He used the word I am so often that you need to know he is. He's that servant, the suffering servant, the message, the word. John 1:14 says, the word God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him, one of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. And his glory wasn't material. His glory wasn't his physique. Come on. His glory wasn't how he dressed. Come on. His glory wasn't his kind of speaking. He had serious oratory. His glory wasn't his height. His glory wasn't because he possesses or possessed. His glory were the things he said and the things he did. And Philippians 2. Don't forget we're looking at the text. Be ye angry and sin not. Is it an instruction to be angry? Watch. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, verse 6, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, what Paul is describing here, is it his resurrection or his incarnation? His incarnation. In other words, he's saying to us, we have lessons to learn to view from the incarnation of Christ. We must see him. And we watch him. There was nowhere, we're told in the epistles, to follow those in the old covenant except their faith. But we're not told to follow Jesus' faith. We're told to follow his example. is an example perfectly. Because they, their righteousness was in their faith. Jesus' righteousness was in his conduct. His righteousness was in his conduct. We follow their faith in him whose righteousness is a gift to us. His own righteousness was not a gift. His righteousness was himself. He didn't need any sacrifice or any gift. He is a gift. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2. Glory to his name. See 1 Peter 2. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 2. I'm going to start from verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. Watch what Peter says. For even, I want us to read it together. Come on, let's go. Now, let's look at the background of that. The background was that, of that is 20. What glory is it if when you are buffeted for your fault, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. That is, if people come against you and you take it well, you do not respond. Then he says in 21, let's take 21 together. For even thereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. Look at the word example. The word example is the word hupogrammos. Hupogrammos. H-U-P-O-G-R-A-M-M-O-S. H-U-P-O-G-R-A-M-M-O-S. It is, it's a written copy. That is, now I think it has a twofold application. In the sense that Jesus becomes the model for us. He is the model to us. Then it also says, grammar is to write. So in other words, because now we now have the four gospels, the written example of Jesus is for us. What was written about him? He says, come an example. For us to follow his footsteps. The word to follow his footsteps is a combined word which is spelled E-P-A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. E-P-A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. It's the word epakoluthio. It means to be devoted in following. That is, you are addicted to something. You know, something you are addicted to, some you take all the time. Some folks are addicted to sleep. They sleep in sleep. Some folks can sleep. I remember one time we're having labor. Labor in the boarding house is when you come out in my school to cut grass. Majorly. So they used to call us grass cutting institution. And there was a guy right on the labor line. We all queued up. And he slept up standing. Never seen that before. I don't hope to see it again. And everybody walked away. That for me is a wonder. I still can't explain it. So, some who are devoted is something you are addicted to. That when we see you, we see it. So he's saying here, we follow in an addiction his footsteps. We must be addicted to how Jesus lives or lived. You see the word in Mark 16:20? With signs following. 1 Timothy 5:10 and 24 by Paul. So he says his footsteps will be our addiction. His example, pardon me, will be our addiction. Now let's look at the addiction. Verse 22. Who did no sin? How do you know he did no sin? Who did no sin? Now watch how Peter is going to explain it. Who did no sin, no wrong? Neither was guile found in his mouth. The word guile is deceit, lies. He won't tell you what he never meant. He won't say something to someone and then he says the same thing to another in another way, and that's not the same thing he said. No. That is, he was consistent in the things he said. There was no deceit found in his mouth. He wasn't trying to manage people. Or, like some say today, in Lagos language or whatever language, he was trying to skibby. You know skibby? Find out. Or scope. Nope. There was no guile. So the first place to deal with sin is where? In your mouth. Remember, James said the same thing. James chapter 3 verse 1. If you don't offend in your words, you will not offend in all. But if you offend in words, then you offend everything. So in the words of Jesus. Now, you know, this wasn't just the testimony of his disciples. It's not a testimony of your church members. No. Or your family members. No. That was what everybody saw about him. You know, I told you yesterday, they had to look for false witnesses. That's what they had to do to him. False witnesses. Because there was just nothing you will say in his mouth that was deceit. Second thing. The word mouth there is not the lips. It's the word stoma in his speech. In what he was saying. Second thing he says. He says, who when he was reviled. Now, the word reviled is the word loidoreo in the Greek, L-O-I-D-O-R-E-O. It means to insult. In other words, to speak against someone or to speak of him in low terms. Look at John 9. John 9, 28. Then they reviled him, that's Jesus, and said, thou art his disciple. But we are Moses' disciples. Disciples of what? Disciples of Jesus. They're mocking the guy. Public insults. In Acts 23 verse 4, Luke now. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Why? Because of what Paul said. God will smite thee, verse 3, oh whited wall. Now let's put it in today's language. To abuse you. He was abusing me. But abuse is different from the word. But it's insults. But abuse is what you understand the word abuse. He abused me. That person can abuse. And then just, some guys take pride in, that guy. Don't argue with her or him. Hey! When he's done with you, you will lose self-dignity. There was a friend of mine that came to my office years ago. And I was in VI then. He just brought this car. From America, I think. And from what he told us, and I think I could confirm it, it was probably the first to be in the country. So that he would be the first person to bring it in the country, he put it in the plane. You know, some guys are really vain. Just to be the first person. So he brought the car to my office. And so, because we're business partners. So he came up. So where he parked, a lady who was also in the office complex, felt that she blocked our car. So she came up. I knew that lady well. When that lady is talking, just say, yes, ma'am. But my friend had ego things, my business partner, I meant. So she came up. And then she came into our office. Nobody could stop her. She said, whose car is that? The guy says, mine. So are you the driver? That's what she said. The guy said, no, it's my car. Said, so? He said, your car doesn't show your character. How did that bring in? Then as she was walking out, you know, some people are just like that. She just said, in Yoruba, I have to say to Yoruba boy to get that, she said, fairly used from the, this is a brand new car. Imagine something you brought in a year to shine. Somebody now, they shine it for you. Some people, that is their ministry. You know, there are people like that. You respect someone and they say, who? And my friend, when they say, ah, I say, ah, you will get more from this woman. She has it in abundance. It doesn't end. In the office coming, when we are parking, we say, has she arrived? Where will she park? Everybody just says, hey. But on our car, you see a sticker. Jesus Christ is Lord. My case is different. I am born again. Many cars glorify God more than those who drive them. The guy is in the car and someone crosses with him. And in his car, he's playing the Believer's Love Walk. And singing, I am the righteousness. Look at you. If you are mad from your house, don't be mad here. He cried, Jesus. Maybe the tape should drive. I guess the teacher should come and drive. Some folks can actually insult. And when they are done with you, you went to a lady, you want to ask her out. She looks like this. Are you acting a drama? Somebody filming it. Say no, no. It must be a drama. Where is the camera? Say, I'm sorry. Is that part of the drama? What did we carry? What did you throw? So Jesus was insulted. Alright, let's get back to that. He was insulted. But the Bible says, and it's a word, don't forget, loidorio. In 1 Corinthians 4:12, Paul says about us as believers. Sometimes we want to give it back. Ah, you go home and tell your parents, they said this. So what did you say? You see, I wish my child just like me. He's a bastard that uses the left hand. That's Yoruba. Hey! Go back there! What, why are you crying? Crying for? Go back there! Don't do! After new creation. You are still very creative. 1 Corinthians 4:12. Are you in church? Alright, so he says, though we have been reviled, Paul says it, been persecuted, we suffered, we are insulted. A preacher. Insulted. Imagine if somebody insults your pastor right in your presence. Naturally, you can always take off your jacket. Pastor, hold on, sir. But the pastor doesn't say, no, we don't do this. We have not so learned Christ. Hallelujah. So in 1 Peter 2, you there? Being reviled, he reviled not. Now, he uses the exact opposite of it. Interestingly, he has a very sensitive Greek addition, which is the word anti. He did the exact opposite. He reviled not again. The word anti-lodorio. He didn't do it back. again in his words. Then he says, when he suffered, he did not threaten. You know, there's a way you will not insult. And you go, the word threaten there is the word apolio. It means to warn. Apelio, sorry. A-P-I-L-E-O. To warn. It's used in Acts 4:17 when they warned Peter and the apostles. So, you know, so okay, you may not insult back. And I say, you are not insulting back. If I be a man of God, the God of this commission, the one who sent me and called me, you are not insulting back. You are doing something of a higher level of glory. It did not threaten. You didn't say. I remember someone told me, I was working for him, and he told me, when I asked him for my salary, 2 months, 1994, I said, where's my salary? He said, you're a young man, are you not an undergraduate? What are you using money for? Because I've been listening to some teaching on dominion, that don't take no for now. Don't let anybody deprive you of your right. You must fight back. I said, sir, what do you mean? I'm not a small boy, I have a big God inside. So the man said, God, I'm not helping you. I laughed. I went to all the school buses, 3 of them. I laid hands on them. Stop walking. Stop walking. Stop walking. And they all broke down. The son of the man listened to this testimony a year ago. A year after, it was the same school that were holding ministry meetings. And the son now joined our ministry. I couldn't share that testimony. Now I can share it because he's matured now. He follows us. His father is going to be the Lord. So he has been hearing me. And we are laughing over it. Who stopped those cars from working? He's not the Jesus in the Bible. If it's not Jesus, it's not God. So who is it? But interestingly, when I share that testimony, I say, he that comes upon me will be established. Wherever I come upon, the grace upon that. You know, sometimes when you watch some of movies, African related, when you are growing up, and somebody brings that fire from the mouth, somewhere in your mind you like it. You think that's what tongues are for? It is the flesh. He reviled not back. He didn't insult. Hallelujah. He didn't threaten. That was why, when they took him before Pilate, there was nothing wrong that he ever said. He was on brethren before Pilate. You said, wait, why won't I? Am I not human? Can you take it? If it were you, I even tried. Did so so and so man of God, so so and so place. Did Elijah, you'll have heard it, did Elijah do it? Are you now telling Elijah is a man of God? Are you saying Elijah is not anointing? You will skip Jesus and go to Elijah because you know what you are doing. Elijah needed a savior just like you did. The only one that needed no savior is the savior himself. He is the explanation of God. Matthew chapter 5. Are you learning something here? Verse 43. Here's Jesus. You have heard it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate thy enemy. That's the law of sin and death. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. What about that? Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. How are we to pray for them? Matthew 6. After this manner pray. Matthew 6. After this manner pray. Verse 9. This is how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom is here. Is not to come, it's here. The affirmations. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. What is your will? He says, you give us this day our daily bread. You forgive us our sins, our debt, so that we forgive those who are our debtors. That's how to pray. I've explained this verse to you. You forgive us our debt, so, not us, the Greek is so, H-O-S, so we forgive our debtors. You lead us not into temptation, you deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, amen. Then he explains the reason for that prayer in 14. If you forgive men their trespasses, just as your heavenly Father forgave you. That's what he means there. Not that your heavenly Father will forgive you. No, it's just as your heavenly Father forgives you. Properly Greek. Translated. 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, it is not as, that's the word neither there, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. So what we are doing is what the Father has done to us. What we are doing is what the Father has done. He is the copy in Christ. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:26. We never saw Jesus angry. What? Yep. What about what happened in the temple? That wasn't anger. The Bible says it was the zeal of the Lord. He drove out those who were selling and buying. But he never spoke in anger. As soon as he got them out, the Bible says he began to teach. He never saw Jesus. Not 1 minute. The Bible said, Master, easy. Rabbi, good. It's okay, thank you. Ah, Master. You are a man of God. You are a man of God. Not once. They couldn't catch him. He said the prince of this world came. He found nothing. Nothing. Are you still there? Ephesians 4. So why would Paul now write to us, be ye angry and sin not? Now, we will need to study it. Are you ready? But now, he uses two words in there. He says, be ye angry. The word angry there is the word orgizo. O-R-G-I-Z-O. It's the verb of the word orge. O-R-G-E. Orge. Okay? So, the verb produces the noun. Orge is used 36 times. And we're going to look at it together now. So that we can examine Paul's instruction very well. Orge is used 36 times. And we'll see it together. In Matthew 3:7, Mark 3:5, and Luke 3:7 is used by John the Baptist. Flee from the wrath to come. Now we've done a study on that. That is the vengeance of sin. The wrath to come. We're saying that to the Pharisees. Again, John, in John 3:36. The wrath of God abides on those who do not believe Jesus. Again, we've explained the wrath of God to be what? Man-made. man's disobedience to the gospel is called the wrath of God. We'll see a couple of things shortly. Besides these three of these four, which are spoken only by John, you won't find the wrath identified at all with Jesus. It wasn't mentioned. If anything at all, John was even talking about the future. And that has to do with what the consequences of unbelief. That's it. Now, in the book of Romans, Paul used it and very, very intelligent. Now, I need to go do that study yourself. In Romans 1:18, because we have a series like that called the wrath of God. In Romans 1:18, he calls it to those who disobey the gospel. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed unto all men after he has said the righteousness of God is revealed. In Romans 2:5, two times, again, is referring to disobedience. In Romans 2:8 and Romans 3:5. Now, I need us to look at Romans 4:15. Romans 4:15 is very vital here because when you read, I've told you, don't read in verses, read whole book. So, what he referred to as wrath will be seen shortly. Romans 4:15. Get the series, don't forget the wrath of God. We have a series like that. And then, Romans 4:15. Yes, Paul. He says, let's take it together. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, wrath is vengeance, punishment, rage. Now look at Romans 5:9. Let's take it together. Romans 5:9. Let's read it together. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So he saves from wrath. He doesn't give the wrath. Romans 5:9. Romans 9:22. Wrath is identified with disobedience to the gospel. Romans 9:22. If God willing to show wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. He's talking disobedience here. So the wrath of God, as we have explained, is God's absence. God didn't create sin, so couldn't have created death. Death is man-made. Sin is man-made. Death is, and the wages of sin is what? Death. So death is man-made because sin is man-made. We've done that study over and over again. God judges it because he lets us see the result of sin. But God is not the architect of it and therefore can produce death. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, death is an enemy of God. In fact, triumph of Jesus is called the triumph over death. 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 57. Hebrews 2:14, 15. He through death destroyed him that had the power of death, that is Jehovah. That is the devil. So therefore, wrath is man-made. It is called the wrath of God because it is God's inactivity. You've seen that study before. Now, look at Ephesians 2:3. 5:6. The wrath of God in Ephesians 2:3, we're called the children of wrath because we were disobedient. Ephesians 2:3. Ephesians 5:6. The children of disobedience have the wrath. Children of disobedience, those who don't believe. Same thing, Colossians 3:6. This wrath is identified with a punishment for unbelief. Mark this also, I skipped it as a mistake. Romans 13:4. Used for civil authorities where they visit punishment on those that disobey the laws of the land. Now, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, punishment, that is to give. So, wrath here will be to give retribution, to give back a punishment for what another has done. 2 Thessalonians, I believe, chapter 1, verse... No, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from what? The wrath to come, the punishment to come. 1 Thessalonians 2:16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost, those who don't believe. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Let's take it together. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Let's go. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain what? Salvation. Very good. Then quickly go to Hebrews 3:11. So this wrath will be the opposite of God's saving power, right? Very good. Hebrews 3:11, we're there yesterday. For I swore in my wrath, using the words of the Old Testament, Psalm 95, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. What is called his wrath? Look at verse 12. Let's take 12 together. Take it, brethren, lest any of you be found an evil heart of what? Unbelief. In what? So this wrath is the absence of God in departing from the living God. Unbelief, the result of it is called the wrath of God. That is, you don't believe, you've not accepted God's saving power, therefore you will be left to destruction. Not God's destruction, it is the absence of his power. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you choosing to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached well as unto them, but the word preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let's take verse 3 together. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished. So is the wrath God made or man made? It's man made because it's unbelief. Now, that is wrath, man made, punishment for sins. Romans 12:19. Now what I've simply done now is to put the wrath, the word wrath, that apply together in one place. The wrath of God, the wrath for sin, in one place. Now, let's look at conduct. Wrath used in conduct. Romans 12:19. Romans 12:19. Are you there? Come on, are you there? So let's go. It says, now, we need to start from 17. Recompense to no man what? Evil for evil. Let's read it together. Let's go. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. 18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. 19. Dearly beloved, let's go. Avenge not yourself, but give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He says, give place to what? That is, do not yield to wrath. Don't yield to. Allow people not to get back a punishment of what they've done. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Told you one dishonest preacher said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's why dishonest is mine, saith the Lord. No. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what do you do? Now, who's an enemy? Enemy. Someone who hates you. Who wants to destroy you. See, if he's hungry, you give him food. If he's thirsty, you give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Coals of fire refers to cleansing of sin. Then he says in verse 21, be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with what? Overcome evil with what? Good. So he says, do not revenge. Wow. Don't respond with what you are giving. Wow. Seriously? Then James 1:20. Then we'll go to Ephesians later. James 1:20. Are you in church? James 1, let's start from 19. I want us to read it together. James 1:19. Let's go. Wherefore, let's go. Wherefore. What you say wherefore, that means there's something you were saying before. What was he saying? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his creature. See, I'm just like my father. Say, I'm godlike because I'm born of his spirit. He says, because of that, be swift to hear. Slow to what? Slow to speak and slow to wrath. Slow to speak just like Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 20 together. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wow. Colossians 3:8. Let's read it together. Colossians 3:8. But now you also put off all this: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of what? Your mouth. See what he calls filthy communication. Now, there's a place of saying naughty things like using the F word. That's not what he's talking about here. Filthy communication are words said in anger. Things you said in rage. Things you said to return back sender to the sender. He calls it filthy communication. It's not talking slangs, no. He's talking about responding to people in anger and in rage. Ephesians 4:31. Are you in church? Are you still there? Ephesians 4:31. Let's read together now. Now, this is just after verse 26. This is just after verse 26. So let's take it together. Let's go. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all. Why would he now say in 26 he should be angry? When he just calls it evil speaking. There must be a challenge with the syntax. Because there are syntax arrangements that are faulty. And some versions have rectified this. Verse 26. It says, be ye angry and sin not. No. That's not what he said. The word here is a very strong word. It is the word parogismos. I'm going to spell it for you. P-R-O-R-G-I-S-M-O-S. P-R-O-R-G-I-S-M-O-S. It is used for a third party. It actually means provocation. Paro is from the verb parogizo, P-R-O-R-G-I-Z-O. It's used for provocation. And you see this in Romans chapter 10 verse 19. I will provoke you to jealousy. Then Ephesians 6:4. That's the verb now. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So, be ye angry? No. He's saying, do not be provoked. Which is the word not should have been after the word angry. Do not be provoked and sin. Do not be provoked and sin. Now, that provocation will come from a third party. Do not be provoked and then you sin. Let me see if you understand it. Come on. Do not be provoked. Why? Because your nature is love. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. You learning something here? 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Love behaves itself, doesn't behave itself similarly, doesn't seek our own, is not easily provoked. Say, I'm not easily provoked. So he says, do not be provoked and sin. So people will provoke you. You can't stop that. And those who provoke you are not just folks who are enemies. Some that provoke you are friends, family members. Sometimes your pastor will provoke you. Sometimes those you pastor will provoke you. Your husband, your children. In fact, he just said it now, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Say, I'm born of God. Say, I'm born of God. Did they try to provoke Jesus? Many times. But neither was any guile found in his mouth. By insulting him, what were they doing? Trying to provoke him. By lying against him, what were they trying to do? Provoke him. Even his own disciples betrayed him. Judas was stealing money, John told us. They betrayed him. I mean, it was some of us, when you rose from the dead and you come and rose to Emmaus, and you find two disciples, and they are just looking at them. Master, once bitten, twice shy. You go walk away. You think I will not put myself in your hands again. Disciple, I trust no man. He came back to them and he taught them the word. He said, tell all your brethren, I'm Peter. And because he knew that, I have something I'm going to share with you next week. He knew Peter was going to play a major role. He found Peter alone. There are people like that in our lives. Oh my God. Wait till next week. Peter was chosen by Jesus. He wasn't the best of the pack, but had a role to play. And Jesus said, I have prayed for you. There are some people, by praying for them, you are praying for nations. I've prayed for you. When you are converted, you take care of the rest. There are people like that. I told you, never say nobody is indispensable in your life. There are people like that. That God put them in your life. You can't replace them. If you like, argue with your kingdom, but I'm not going to argue with you. There are people like that. So he goes to Peter. Were they disloyal to him? Did that make Jesus disloyal to them? If you are disloyal to people because you have been disloyal to, you have committed a sin. He was loyal to them. A pastor should also be loyal to the flock. I've been a pastor for a few weeks. You can never ask all my friends. I have never discussed a church member with a friend before. Never. I don't do it. They know. Never. And I tell our pastors, you guys are here. I say, never discuss what? Your members. If there's a problem, come and meet me. God gave you the privilege to pastor people. Never. Because people should not just be loyal to you. You must be loyal to them. There are those who have left this ministry, who even insulted us as they were leaving. But things that they said in confidence to us, to me, I have never discussed to myself. Why? I owe God that duty to do the right thing, even when you are wrong. The world lives in revenge. Many business empires are built on revenge and strife. In fact, the more you understand strife, the better you are in the business world. The more you understand competition, how to mark people down. But we have not so learned Christ. We have not so learned Christ. In this kingdom, we let go. So, he says, do not be provoked. That means people are going to provoke you. Luke tells us, Jesus said in Luke 17:1, it is not possible that offenses should not come. Offenses will come. Offenses, because people are hearing this message, doesn't mean that at the car park they will not provoke you. If you don't think that way, you are just a new convert. Because we are hearing the Lord walk every Sunday, does not mean that I'm not saying tomorrow, even in this Sabbath. Right there, you just say something. Just say, now, well, after hearing all this message, okay, oh God. You have just done the same thing. So, Paul is saying, do not get provoked. Are you there? Verse 26. Is it making sense now? And sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let me explain what that means. Don't allow time for wrath. Don't give it room. The sun going down is time. That is, don't give room for that provocation to settle. Don't give it room. Don't give it room. And many times we do. You tell others. You think about it. You sit down in your room for hours thinking about what someone has done to you. What are you doing? You are allowing it to settle in your heart. That means you reject it at the provocation stage. I listened to Brother Hagin this morning. And then when I was done listening to him, I sat down and thought about myself. Brother Hagin said, I made a decision years ago never to speak an evil word against any. Never to think evil about anybody. And I sat down in the room and I said, Jesus Christ, this is this morning. That's how a Christian should be. Said, I made up my mind long ago. That I won't have an evil thought against anybody. I won't wish anybody evil. I won't respond to people who speak against me in evil terms. I won't. This morning, I said, wow. Wow. That's quite a Christian life. Because in this series, I'm listening to his teaching on this. And the things he said on spiritual growth, like I told you last week. So, he says, don't allow time. Don't brood over it. Don't write in the diary. Don't type in the WhatsApp. Say, do not be provoked. Choose. Look at the next thing he says. 27 now says, neither give place to who? The devil. Because anger is of the devil. Neither give place. I remember one Jewish scholar explained, he's a Jew, explained this word here, he used the word topos, giving space. It means an opportunity. Opportunity. The moment you start thinking on it, you are giving room for it. You are giving room for the devil. And you will justify your response. Learn it today, brothers and sisters, that anger is of the devil. And I'm saying this by the Spirit of God, that many of us need to watch this, else we destroy relationships. See, people that God has put in your life may not be perfect. They may not be perfect. You will have to walk in the spirit yourself. Your children will not be. Your husband, your wife. No. Your friends, your pastor. Those you pastor. I'm saying this because as a growing Christian, I have to walk away from the spirit of anger. Because I found out that lying in anger is pride. 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 And we've been studying Isaiah. Pride is a major in sin. It is. It's from the devil. Pride. It comes with, you just get irritated at what someone has done. We'll look at that later now. So it is from the devil. Do you know this? Look at 1 John 3. Are you aware of something? 1 John 3. A salient fact. 1 John 3. That the first manifestation of sin and its consciousness found in Cain was anger. He wasn't fornication. He wasn't robbery. He wasn't even lying. It was anger. Anger is self-righteousness. God forgave you. He gave you. You are now angry. Anger. 1 John 3. Are you in church? Look at verse 11. This is the message we have heard from the beginning. That we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, as slew his brother. He was of the wicked one. He slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother righteous. Mother not my brethren, the world hates you. Can we take verse 14 together? We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Can we take 15 together? Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Say, I have eternal life in me. I don't hate. I don't get provoked. Wow. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if they smite you on one cheek, say, don't return. Say, turn the other. Now, it doesn't mean that you should be giving your cheeks away. What he's saying is this. If they give you a slap on the face, you have the capacity to take another one, and you will not return it. You do. You can hold yourself from being provoked. You know, if you practice this, they will call you swebe. This is not Christianity, oh! This is not Christianity at all. This is nonsense. Nonsense. But that is actually Christianity. Christian. So I say, you know, my own character trait. I am a claw. I'm a choleric. You know, you melancholy. You are like this. You know, I remember my father said something to me years ago. And he said, he noticed how someone came to talk with me. And I discharged the person very easily. I said, he said, you know what you just did now? You did not listen to the guy. I said, why? He said, you think that he's not talking intelligently. He said, I'm saying it because I had the same problem. He said, boy, it is pride. I'm a pastor. He was not a pastor, but he was right. He said, it's pride. He said, learn to listen to people. That's true. You know, Jesus listened to people. That's why it is written. Read those things, those people said, yeah, I don't have time. I only hear my father speak. Pride. Pride. So anger is of the devil. And you know, anger has no limits. I'm not sure Cain had prepared to kill his brother. He probably didn't even think about it. Till he allowed it. The Bible says, as he was angry, God said to him, sin lies at your door. He's offering you at your door. He's angry. And he's justifying himself. I'm the firstborn. I remember the other day. That's how. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. No. And you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. You are not giving space to the devil. You are giving estates. One day, the guy calls you, you cut the call. Rubbish. I don't take nonsense. I'm the king's king. The king's king. Especially of American legislation. Oh, yes. Nobody. Anger. You know, university, there was a lady like that. I administered to her before, so I went to her hostel. No, I went to a friend's hostel, so she was there. Man of God, thank God I can see you. I said, what's up? She said, so-and-so lecturer. He would die today. I don't know how a Christian can say die and your heart doesn't boo. People say it every Sunday. die, 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 die. How many times Jesus said death in his mouth? I can count number of times death is in the epistle. It's more than the death some people have said in one service, more than the entire Bible. Die! Say, he's going to die today! I said, what's happening? That sometimes that happens. He wants to fail me in course, in that course. Jurisprudence. No, not jurisprudence. I think it's company law. I know. Company law. No way. I can't take it. So I am the apple of God's eye. God go get glasses today. Oh. I am the king's key. Is he gonna die? He said he won't die. No, sir. You have to stand with me in faith. The thing about the man she was asking to die was interesting. This is by the way. He was a man that helped me to get to the school. But I didn't say that there. Lest both of us die. So you're gonna die! You're gonna die! Yeah, it's a Christian! Her hair was up. She was rumpled. Is that not like the devil? Feel me angry. You'll be ashamed of the flesh you walked in. So when she was not going to hear me, I left. Because when you say die, die many times. I don't want people to come around. Somebody eventually dies. So what were you hearing? You were hearing die, die. You said there. So I left. The session after, the senior in the faculty of law, I saw her at the butchery of the faculty. I smiled inside and laughed. The man was now the dean. She did her extra very well. I ate my food. Looking at her, she didn't greet me. I will live happily ever after. How would a Christian say those kind of things? You gave place to the devil. The manifestation of anger is pride. Remember, in Luke 18, that Pharisee said, I am not like this person. We usually get angry because we think we are better than the person. Ah, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. I can never do that kind of thing. I can never do that kind of thing. Are you any different from that Pharisee? I can't do it. Why are you angry? Can you forgive? I'm not saying I'm not forgiving, but you can't tell me not to go back. I can never, I can't do it, never, I can never. Pride. And Jesus said, that publican goes home more justified. Kenneth Hagin told the story of one time he said about a preacher. That if you knew God's word, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. If he knew God's word, he wouldn't do it. He said, the Lord told him, you know why I won't listen to you? Brother Hagin told us. He said, why, Lord? He said, because if you were in his shoes, you'd have done worse. So he just kept quiet. There's someone like that, that he saw a preacher go down the alley. Now that's like going into red district areas and all that. He said, how can a preacher do that? And he said, also, stop. The Lord asked him, how do you know he didn't turn back as he got to the door? How do you know he's not struggling with a habit that is walking in the word? How do you know that just the day after, he stopped? You don't know. That's why judging people in anger doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Here you are, a product of God's grace. That's what you are. The moment you think you can easily be provoked is because there's pride in your heart. Pride. You think what the person does, you can't do it, and it's not true. Many of us, when we were younger, were angry at our parents, and when we grew up, we started doing exactly the same thing we accused them of doing. Pride. Pride. See, I'm free from pride. So you put away the provocation. How do you do this? First thing will be your words. Your words. If you can bridle your words, you will bridle your emotions. Ephesians 4 again. Are you learning something? Ephesians 4. I found out that those who mouth grace, many of them, many, not most, don't have grace in their attitude at all. They are not gracious. They don't. Ephesians 4. Verse 29. Now it says, give no place, verse 27 to them. That's the word topos. No opportunity. That is, no meditation. Sorry, no meditation. Say no thinking. Because as you think on it, Satan is at the door. And you imagine what was done to you. I gave my best. I did what I could do. In that is justification to walk in the flesh. Let no son go down upon God. Don't give room or time for wrath. Verse 28. Let no corrupt communication. The word there is sapros. S-A-P-R. It is the word useless. Don't say something that is not useful to the person. He said, but that which brings edification. So if you respond those words for words, will it build the person? No. Even as a pastor, when you're correcting people, ensure that what you are saying, I'm growing as a pastor, getting better. Some of you have seen me grow over the years. As you grow, even as a pastor, and you are correcting people, ensure you are doing it in love. In 2 Corinthians 13:10, Paul says, I'm coming, yes, to instruct you, to correct you, but it's not for your destruction, for your edification. That's important. I tell parents, you can correct your children. Sometimes in Africa, you can use the fivefold ministry or the tree of life, not your good and evil. But ensure that you are not angry. Now, I remember one time my daughter, personally my son, I've never had the reason to even smack him. Never had the reason. For whatever reasons. I think he walks in the spirit a lot. But my daughter, she's like me, really. She's a wonderful person. So one day, I've only had the opportunity to smack her once. And when I did, I had to say sorry. And we both hugged ourselves. She's crying, I'm crying. Why? Not because what she did was right. No, she was wrong. But I didn't do it rightly. It wasn't because I smacked her. I would have done it in a godly way. But I was angry. I was angry because I felt she disobeyed me. Me. That was the point. Me. And I remembered my own father. You dare not! We went to his door. You will stay for 30 minutes before you knocked. How do I knock? Do I? And when he answers, yes. Yes. Sorry. Come in. They say that. And all the things you have re-asked, you only have one line left. So I looked at this. She's smoking. My own child. I just got in anger. So I said, what you did was wrong. But what I did was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to daddy. You know my daughter? After that, she's back doing other things after. She's blessed. But that was it. For me, that was wrong. You don't justify anger because you are a parent. You just sinned. Those are, but that's Bible. This is Nigeria. Oga, you are a bad example of a Christian in your home. See? Are you there? Don't say words. Imagine telling yourself, you these goats. And what are you? Can a human being give birth to goats? It's only goat that can produce. Its seed is in itself, producing after its own kind. So if any parent calls a child goat, the child just be angry. So happy. Well, as he is, so are we. The words you will say. Said, let no filthy communication, sapros, something the person cannot use. When you talk to people, even when you want to correct them, say things they will use to build themselves up. That is why you must be swift to hear, but slow to speak. You don't have to talk. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I'm saying? You don't have to talk immediately. Hold on. Wait till you have the right thing to say. Don't say, sometimes they remind us of what we have said. Say, did I say that? You said more. Be slow. Be slow. And being slow doesn't mean slow to later. In 2 Samuel 13, we have a story there. Three brothers. Absalom, Amnon, and Tamar. Now, Absalom was Tamar's brother. But Amnon was their half-brother. They are all children of David. Hear me well. And then Amnon pretended to be sick and raped Tamar, the half-sister. Incest and all sorts. Raped her. And she goes and tells the father. Absalom heard about it. She tells the father, David. All David did was just angry. That is rubbish. How would you rape your sister? And he did nothing else. Now Absalom kept quiet. I believe Absalom wasn't the bad fellow. But you see, anger will make you devilish. So he kept quiet. He said nothing. The Bible says he said nothing for 2 years. So sometimes the fact that you have said nothing doesn't mean you've handled it well. In fact, by saying nothing many times, you are only keeping it for another time. He said nothing. He just kept quiet. 2 good years. Everybody felt the issue was done. I think David handled it badly. Sometimes your pastor, your leaders, your parents, your husband didn't handle a matter well. But you see, let go. We must all learn to let go. He waited and he plotted the death of Amnon. 2 years? Conspiracy? I know people that can plan for 2-3 years. Someone told us one time, remember? And he said, we have been planning this for 2 years. In this church, how would you plan something evil for 2 years? And we were attending prayer meetings together. We were hearing the word together. We were doing it. And you were planning something. Why? It had to do with something they said, I said. They didn't like it. And so, they aggrieved, met another aggrieved, another aggrieved, another aggrieved, another aggrieved. And you will always find people, there is no church where everybody is full of the Spirit. The only church like that is in the New Jerusalem. Of course, that's the church. I'm just kidding. But the truth is, there will always be baby Christians in the church. Those who walk in the flesh. So the fact that you found somebody who is thinking like you doesn't mean it's correct. You will find those who are aggrieved as well. You will find different people, whether in the family, whether in your office, whether in the church. She said, for years, I think it's 2 years. Is it 2 years? Is it 2 years? 2 years, yeah, 2 years, the same thing. 2 years. I said, how would you? For me, I'm done. You get it? For some guys, really, they can incubate things. 2 years. Remember a sister of ours in the fellowship there in 1994, 5. She had a diary that she wrote wrongs. Wrongs from when she was a child. I said, you got born again and this child did not pass away. This child did not pass away. All things did not pass away. It even became new. You added new ones. After salvation. Are you saved? 2 years. And Absalom, not Amnon, Absalom now plotted Amnon's death and killed Amnon. He didn't stop there. Because that wasn't his target. He now went for David. And David had made an error. David got Absalom to be close to his throne. Don't stay around people who are so hurt. They are destructive. Think of another time. Eventually, Absalom wanted to kill David. It destabilized his kingdom. After all, Absalom had to die. But the point remains that anger is destructive. Don't keep it. Don't keep that hurt. Husband, wife, children, parents, pastor, flock, don't keep it. Is that clear? Let it go. Some will wait till they get back to their wives, their husbands, their parents. 2 years. For a new creature, you don't even have 30 minutes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't have 30 minutes. You have that minute. Don't be provoked. Don't sin. Sin has no permission. You choose not to be angry. See, I choose not to be provoked. I can, because I'm born of God. Look at your words. Look at the thing Cain said. Am I my brother's keeper? That's the thing he said. Selfishness and pride. Am I my brother's keeper? Why do you say that? Why do you have to say that? Because you are angry. That point, you say anything towards your wife, your children, your pastor, your husband, or your friend. At that point, everything anybody has been to you at that point ceases to exist because you are angry. So, see, your pastor will do things you don't like. Your church members will. That's not new. But you must choose to walk in the Spirit. And I must warn you, there are people who preach what I call philosophical things. They will preach love, but from a humanistic point of view. Say, well, be wise about it. You know, and they will say things that are not in God's word. But it will appeal to your senses. You'll hear, well, first time, don't give room for the second time. Is God like that? Was Christ like that? Did Paul teach that? No, that is human philosophy. I like what Reverend Sam taught us years ago, 94 precisely, in Rema Chapel here. He used a scripture. Now, the scripture has nothing to do with this, but what he said, I now found it applicable in the epistles. He said, the Bible says, before you call, I will answer you. He said, because of God, how God responds, I mean, somebody hear me now, when he was pastor in Rema Chapel here in Yaba, 94. He said, if God is like that he answers before you pray, and we know that he provided the sacrifice of Jesus before we sinned. He said, therefore, all believers should operate the law of advanced forgiveness. That is, I already have the forgiveness before you sin. You know, we pride about it. Our sins are forgiven yesterday and forever. But even the one for yesterday, we don't forgive people. Not the one today or forever. Yes. But we are born of God. And we can. Are you there? So, the first thing I do, not to be provoked, I use my words. I fill my mouth with God's word. Ephesians 5 says, giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. I'm just thankful. I fill my mouth with God's word. I pray. So your mouth is where you have the sword of the Spirit. That's where you have the shield of faith. Your mouth will play a lot of role here. Anger can be stopped, I close, with your words. With what? Say, my words are my shield of faith. Say, my words can stop anger right in his tracks. Just say, no, I can't be provoked. I'm born of God. I overcome this. This hurts doesn't. And then you don't just say that. If it's your parents, your children, your pastor, your flock, your husband, your wife, say, well, I believe the best of him or her. He will rise up to a spiritual stalwart. He will walk in the word. Amen. What are you doing? You are speaking words that will edify. I know you will do the right thing. I know you will walk in the Spirit. I know you are full of God. Imagine you are saying that to someone who just
provoked you. Two things you're doing. You're building the person and you're building yourself. Rather than use that all night to think about the word, use it to speak God's word. What about praying? Praying for the person. We're going to do that before this service is over. Take 2-3 minutes. Just bless that person. And release that provocation from your heart. It's not just people out in the world. It will be people right here in this service. People at home when you get home. People in your office tomorrow morning. People on your campus tomorrow or today. People you don't even see. I'm praying that I grow in the love of God. That is the bond of maturity. I'm praying. In ministry, people will get at you. Sometimes they'll say things that won't hurt you. In 1995, I had the reason to take poison and kill myself. Why? Because some people so close to me said terrible things. Wanted to take my life. It was too early in the ministry for me. I was barely 3 years in ministry. I cried for days. The interesting part was, I'll go on the pulpit and nobody would know. And I'll go back and I feel, why? You know, the year after, this was it. We had a meeting. The thing was, the anointing and his anointings. June 96. The same set came for that meeting. And one of them, who had a growth since he was 3, that was to be operated upon. God asked me to lay hands on him. And he will be healed. And he said, you know what? Despite what happened last year, early this year, you were still the one God used to heal my body. Two things. If I didn't minister to him, I'm unfaithful. If he didn't come for the meeting, he won't get healed. What much we have lost because we are prideful, selfish, and refuse to walk in the Spirit. You see, love is not just a doctrine. It's a lifestyle. You will have to grow in experiences. You will have to grow in it. You will have to grow in it and see people with the eyes of God's love, not with the eyes of what they've done to you. And I'm talking to the wife, the husband, the families. I'm saying this to the pastor, the flock, friends, family. You need to see this as God's wisdom in the human relationship. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't use that night to brood upon it. Don't call someone to ask what does the person feel. Don't forget, anger is satanic. Don't say anything. And don't do like Absalom and just keep quiet because you are planning to get back. You're not saying anything because you want to say the right thing. So rather than respond to the person, speak to yourself. I am a child of God. This has no effect on me. No. This will not affect me. I am walking in the word about this. I am. Now I will forget. That story I did. We both said things against one another. They came at me and I came at them. God used me for them. And that healed my heart because it made me mature. You can't mature because you flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You can't mature because you know how to quote in context and pretext and context. You only mature when you act on God's word. The perfect law of liberty. Or the law of perfect liberty. Hallelujah. Say, I refuse anger. I refuse anger. I have self-control. I delay responses so I can say the right thing at the right time to the right person. I don't say words to put people down or destroy them. I say words that edify. I take my time so I can have God's word on my heart and on my lips to respond to those who provoke me. I am not easily provoked because I'm born of God. Be blessed. Stand to your feet, lift those hands and give God praise. Give him all the praise.